Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Way Northern Kia Studios. For the time being, John Fricke with you on a Sunday afternoon. Phone number is always 404-726-0929. I'm still looking for somebody. If you're one of these folks that can win a bracket challenge, can you give me any insight on how to do it? Is it just chalk? Just go chalk and you have a lot of success? Because, look, on its surface, you look at the big teams, the great teams at the top, and we saw that with the SEC championship game now today with Florida and Tennessee, and saw Duke and Louisville in the ACC, and Alabama and Auburn in the SEC, and how deep the SEC is, and the upsets. By the way, there were upsets in the, and not only did Florida and Tennessee create an upset in both games of the SEC semifinals, so did Wisconsin and Michigan. Wisconsin in the Big Ten. Wisconsin knocked out Michigan State. They had been the best team this year. And Michigan won an incredible at the buzzer over Maryland. And Maryland's been really good. So you got the great teams in the Big 12, the great teams in the Big East, great teams in the ACC. Is it just as simple as taking Duke and St. John's and Houston and Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Tennessee and Michigan State and all these schools to go deep into the tournament? Is it just that simple? It may be. I may be one of these people that overthinks it. And what I try and figure out is, ever since Butler happened, and Butler really kind of changed the dynamic, there have been other teams that have run into the Sweet 16 before, and made these kind of, hey, we're playing for a spot in the Elite Eight, But then Butler gets into the national title game with Brad Stevens. Remember Gordon Hayward and Butler back-to-back. And, of course, they lose the game both times, but they make the national title game 2 years in a row. And then that kind of creates this run where suddenly San Diego State is in the national title game. And Virginia Commonwealth and Wichita State here in Atlanta and George Mason and Loyola and all these kind of high mid-majors make runs into the Final Four. And trying to identify that team that's going to do, because that's the team that when you get all the blood red, the Art the Clown blood red in one of your brackets, that's the bracket where you've got to identify the mid-major making the run, right? Because that's the bracket that gets totally thrown out of whack. And I just don't know how to do that. I guess it's just hey, guess. Okay, it may be, and I'm just bad at guessing. 404-726-0929. You can always weigh in on the Atlanta Braves. The countdown is now on to opening day. I still have some serious questions about the bullpen. That's my biggest concern about this team, kind of breaking camp, is I think that bullpen is just, I'm like, okay. Daisbell Hernandez has not been good. Buck Farmer? I mean, what are you relying on here? Besides Iglesias, and boy, Iglesias, it better be spot on from the jump, because there are not a whole lot of other options out there. The Dylan Lees of the world, I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay. It's mid. At least to me, on paper, it's mid. And I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, they got it. Because I'm okay with the rotation. And yes, obviously with Murphy and Strider and Acuna rejoining the team, Murphy first and then the other two hopefully by the end of the month, I'm okay with 1 through 9. I'm okay with the bench. I think Eli White has really been kind of really good so far this spring. So if you want to talk about Braves, we could chat about that too. So looking for a little insight into Selection Sunday. And if you're going to the game, are you going to be mad if Messi doesn't play? I'm just curious. You go into this game, if Inter Miami says, because Messi, I don't want to play on turf. If he doesn't, Mike Conley even told us. He said, hey, listen, he could start. He could come in and sub in, or he could not play at all. We don't know. He's going to be there, but he may not. If he doesn't play, are you going to be mad? Or are you there to see Atlanta United and hopefully score and win? 404-726-0929 is the number. And then, of course, we are chatting a lot about the Falcons, where I'm beginning to get a sense with the Atlanta Falcons of where they might be going in the draft. And what they obviously want with Kirk Cousins is draft value. And they obviously would prefer to have it happen in the next 5 weeks. Whether they can do that pre-draft or not, I don't know. At the moment, they may not know. But to be able to trade him prior to the draft, to be able to get a draft pick for this year, is going to be really important to Terry Fontenot, because he'd love to have that other pick now, because we all understand that Fontenot is on the clock and doesn't necessarily, it'd be nice to have in 2026, but that may not be Fontenot's pick if things don't go right. I for all the chatter about the edge and the pass rush, I think the Falcons have done a pretty decent job of addressing that so far in the offseason. Look, I'm going to say a couple of things that you may not agree with. That's fine. We could disagree without being disagreeable. You may not like me saying them, but I'm just telling you how I view it. I think in this offseason, which you can say has been mid, and you can point to all the negatives, that's fine. There are three things I think the Falcons have done really well. Okay? Actually maybe even four. Number one is they built depth on the offensive line. Even though they lost Drew Dahlman, let's not forget Newsill started half the season anyway last year, and I think they value him. This is the reason they tendered him. Kind of even to Dahlman, they don't say there's not a whole lot of drop-off here, certainly not $14 million a year worth of drop-off. They've done a really good job of building depth on that offensive line. When you bring in the, you know, when you sign, you know, Storm Norton, you bring him back and bring back Brandon Parker and Kyle, bring back Kyle Hinton, and then, of course, you get Elijah Wilkinson. With those four guys, Hinton and Wilkinson and Parker and Norton, you have offensive line, serious, solid, veteran offensive line help. The Atlanta Falcons offensive line is pretty darn good. And it's pretty darn deep. And I'm really happy with it. Another thing that they've done, which is a positive in my book, is I think they've addressed the edge. I don't think they need to draft edge, boys and girls, moms and dads. I think they've addressed it. When you go out and get you're adding to that edge three players that were not on the team last year. Morgan Fox, Leonard Floyd, and Braylon Trice. Again, Braylon Trice was not on the team last year. Got injured right before the season began. Got injured preseason. So you have to count him on your ledger as a new player. So Braylon Trice, Leonard Floyd, and Morgan Fox to help that pass rush to go alongside. You still have Ebi Cady, right? I mean, you're still looking at having, you know, Zach Harrison out there. I hope one of the things about Zach Harrison is funny. I think we've seen over the last couple of years that Zach Harrison has some game, but they haven't been able to, at least Jimmy Lake wasn't able to figure out how to use him last year. I think that Jeff Ulbrich will be able to figure out how to use him. That's my hope. And so I haven't given up that Zach Harrison can have an impact on this team. Now, Aurora being kind of in the middle and in the starting unit, kind of replacing Grady, which I think is the hope now. But if you get Troy Anderson back, right, and he's finally – now I know I get it. I mean, but with the addition of Diablo and Anderson and Caden Ellis, you now have speed at linebacker. Fox, Lloyd, Trice, you now have addressed edge. What does that lead you to believe? They signed Mike Hughes. I'm walking you through how they've worked the offseason. They need another defensive back, a stud defensive back who can step in right now. Now you can use Mike Hughes at the one corner, unless you believe that Clark Phillips is going to be a starter for this team. I think he's a good depth piece. I like him. Maybe he could start at the nickel. That's possible. And Mike Hughes at the corner, and you go out and draft Malachi Starks and put him at the other safety next to Jesse Bates. That's fine. What's the other opening? What's the other opening on this team? We all have to see where the openings are when you start looking at the draft. Where's the number one opening now? It's not at edge. Okay, I need you to understand it is not at edge. They have veterans now at edge. You've got Trice, you've got Floyd, you've got Ebi Cady, you've got Morgan Fox, you've got Zach Harrison, there are a lot of options. It's not at linebacker because you get a speed linebacker in Diablo. If Anderson's healthy to go along Caden Ellis, they're okay at linebacker. It's a need, but it's not a number one need. Where are the number one needs? Where are the number one and, for that matter, number two needs? Number one need is in the defensive backfield. That's why when they're drafting at 15, they say what they say about Malachi Starks. Maybe they like him and Worry out of South Carolina better. I don't know. Maybe they like Will Robinson better. I don't know. There's a lot of good defensive backs who can step in and be starters for you right now on this team. So I think that's where they're leaning at one. But there's a possibility of something else. What are they missing on the offensive side of the ball? Because their offensive line is fine. It's actually really a really good offensive line. They're fine at quarterback. Hell, they have the best and highest paid backup in the history of the game. They're too deep at running back. What are they missing? Oh, yeah, they're missing that wide receiver. That over-the-top wide receiver. Roma Dunze that that Penix had at Washington. Because we could talk about Drake London, but we all understand that Drake London, he's an extremely good wide receiver, but he's not a take the top off the defense wide receiver, correct? Ray Ray is really good. He can be a kind of a take the top off, but he's really more of a, you know, your kind of version of Cooper Kupp or something like that, right? Now, Pitts, for all of you who want to fire Kyle Pitts into the sun, fire him into the sun. I guess the way I look at it is different than the way you look at it. I understand your frustration with him. I understand when other shows here on the station are screaming to cut him and get rid of him. I'm frustrated with him at two. At times, but there's a reason that Michael Penix wants to keep him on the team. The reason I want him to stay on the team, because he is one of the two or three best. He's one of the two or three best in the NFL deep threat tight ends. He's that good. He is a big play deep threat tight end for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's fast. Number two, he's a matchup nightmare because he's so big. He gets into the secondary, starts running against 5'10", 5'11", safeties. That dude's got a match. And Michael Penix says, go up and get it. He's made a lot of big plays. Last year, he started to pop. Yeah, he dropped the ball at the goal line, but he had also two long touchdowns. I mean, Kirk Cousins went, yeah, you know, all the quarterbacks say the same thing. He's a big play tight end. Now, has he ever lived up to it? No, not really. I mean, does he need to continue to get better? I guess you could argue, okay, one touchdown, two touchdowns, three touchdowns, four touchdowns. Those are his first 4 years. Does he get to five touchdowns this year? I mean, he's at some point he's got to take a leap. But I don't want him to go off this team because unless you're able to address the wide receiver, the other wide receiver spot, and look, they brought back Kadarius Hodge. I like Kadarius Hodge. Don't get me wrong. But Kadarius Hodge is not a star wide receiver, take the top off the defense wide receiver, which is what Michael Penix needs. Because if he can get that guy to drag a safety down the field because you're worried about Penix being able to load up and go down the field, that's going to open up everybody else on the other side of the field, right? Okay, we all see this. It's the one element they're missing on this offense is a guy who can be a take the top off wide receiver. So it wouldn't shock me if they went, this is why you want to get a third round pick, so you can move up in round two to possibly take a defensive back who falls. What if they use their first pick on a wide receiver? You're going to go crazy. And I'm going to go, guys and gals, there are two holes right now on this team that need to be addressed the most. Number one is the defensive backfield, and the number two is a take-the-top-off wide receiver. This is why it's fake right, go left from Malachi Starks. If they take a wide receiver, I'm going to... What are you talking about? There are two holes. You got to fill the holes. If there's a wide receiver there at 15 who's a take-the-top-off wide receiver, and you know you can move up in round two to take a defensive back and a group of defensive backs that you value the same, then why wouldn't you do that? Well, we need an edge guy. No, I just walked you through. They're not drafting an edge. Do you not see it? I want Mike Green. Okay, that's great. They're not drafting him. They just signed Morgan Fox and Leonard Floyd for a reason. I'm just trying to tell you what's going to happen. Just break down the roster. Look at the depth chart. Think about it in your head. You've got Ebikadie, Morgan Fox, Zach Harrison, D'Angelo Malone. You've got Leonard Floyd and Braylon Trice. Now you get another speed guy and a linebacker who can come off the edge, just like Diablo's like Caden Ellis, but covers better. They've got enough speed on defense to rush. Okay? They just do. They've got guys who can pressure the quarterback. Leonard Floyd was a really big pickup for them. Don't kid yourself. And Braylon Trice is like a draft pick. Like, why do we have to draft an edge? We have a draft pick at edge. Braylon Trice. I think that's how they view this. So anybody out there telling you that they're going to draft an edge with their first pick is not paying attention. Not my book. And that would be like a wasted pick. Wait a second. You guys have a... Where are your big hole? You have a hole at safety. You have a hole at either the other cover corner or at nickel. And you have a hole at wide receiver. Those are your three big holes on this team. Not edge anymore. You may not like what they've done at edge, but that's not where the hole is. Okay? Just telling you. 404-726-0929. How I view it, if you view it differently, that's fine. Then we can have a chat about it. We can talk about that. Anybody wants to weigh in on the Braves Selection Sunday, tell me how you do your brackets. Cause I'd like to know. I want to win this year. Hell, I want to have a good year. It is Selection Sunday. It is Atlanta United against maybe Messi tonight and the Hawks and Nets. It's all ahead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right. Dumb Howard, who's a friend of mine, just sent me a text and said, if they draft a wide receiver, we riot. All right, let me just ask you a question broadly, because we're 5 weeks and we got to start talking about the draft. 404-726-0929. Amazing how much the Falcons suck the oxygen out of the room. Tell me, in your mind, what the Falcons' top three priorities are for this draft. All right, just tell me what are your top three priorities? Okay? Because for the team as constructed at the moment, I think the top three priorities are secondary, most notably safety. That's why Malachi Starks is so high on the list. Wide receiver number two. And interior defensive line. Now, if they cut on Yamada, it may be interior defensive line becomes number two, and maybe Walter Nolan becomes somebody they look at in the first round. That's possible. It could even become number one. But those are your three priorities, and nowhere in your three priorities of safety / secondary, which I think is safety, really, wide receiver and defensive line, interior defensive line, which is one of the reasons they may have held on to Onyemata, by the way, is the word edge. They're not drafting an edge, guys and gals are not. I'm trying to tell you, there's no reason to do it. You have needs on this team and none of them involve an edge. You have rebuilt the depth on the offensive line, really done on paper a great job of doing that. They go 9-10 deep on the offensive line. Would I love to have Jordan Wilson? Sure. Of course I would. How is it as a priority? It's not. Their top three priorities in this draft are now safety, interior defensive line, wide receiver. In my world, I think that one of the reasons you'd love to have the third round pick if you could trade Kirk Cousins to get it is because you could trade up at the second round. You might be able to get Malachi Starks, or maybe you could drop down a little bit and be able to trade up in the second round, because the perfect draft to me, almost the perfect draft to me, guys and gals, for the Atlanta Falcons, for this team and the needs of this team right now, would be Malachi Starks with your first pick and Emeka Ogbuka with your second. Because it's not a real deep wide receiver class, okay? But Ogbuka, boy, he could play. We all know that. We saw Ohio State. We know he can flat play. Too bad the other guy's a freshman, but that way, okay, it is what it is. So, but Ogbuka could flat play on any other team that didn't have the freshman like Ohio State does. He is a superstar, and he's a game-breaking, over-the-top kind of guy. Starks and Ogbuka you get Ogbuka here to go with Malachi Starks, you have filled the two biggest needs on this team, and neither of which is named Edge. Just saying. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Eric. They're trying to prep everybody. That's all. Hey, Eric. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, John?
Good, man.
Hey, I want to say I do agree with you on that of safety. If you look at it right now, we all have Jesse Bates at safety. If we're going to battle today, we do have Mike Hughes that we want, Greg, and we did bring in some edge rush. So, yeah, I agree with safety.
Can you put Eric on hold? He is so muddled in my ear, I can't quite get him clear here. See if we can clear that up a little bit for me, Noel. I really want to hear what Eric has to say, but it's just so muddled. I know he said something about safety. See if we can clear that up a little bit. All right. Let's try. Eric, can you try again?
Hello?
Yeah. Try and speak slower and clearer, because you're so muddled in my ear. I'm sorry. Make your point.
Okay. Is it better now?
Not really, but if you sort of try and help me out as best you can here. Go ahead.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, a little bit better, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was saying that I agree with you about that, about the safety. Yeah, if we can get that shored up, that'd be great.
And I don't agree with that with wide receiver right now if we were going to battle today. And also, I would have to say a right tackle, a blindside tackle, is much needed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, right. No, I understand. I mean, I you can, again, I think what they're trying to do here, one of the reasons, you know, you keep Kyle McGarry is he is a pro, and you can put Charlie Werner out there. That was a big addition last year, and you can kind of, you know, help him on that on the blind side. I don't disagree. I don't think they're going to be making much any moves in that regard.
Okay,
in the draft.
I have one more point if I can.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you, Eric. Let me ask you. What do you say are the top three needs of this team right now as it stands today?
Okay, going to battle today, I would say safety, corner, and a center. You got to get a center.
Okay. All right.
And can I make one more point?
Sure.
A question for you. Okay. The big thing right now is about Kirk Cousins, correct? About his contract and keeping him. Everybody's surprised. My thing is, if we're going to keep him this year as a backup, why wouldn't they keep him next year when the cap will be way less than what it is now?
Well, they're not going to keep him. They're going to trade him. But I see your point. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to keep him, why wouldn't you keep him? But the point is not to keep him. They paid him $10 million to trade him.
Okay.
But no, I see your point. But didn't you notice something? Now, we could disagree without being disagreeable. I don't think center. I think they like Nuzil. I mean, they tendered him for a reason. They have options there. I don't think center's high on their list. Would it be nice if they could, maybe in the fourth round, if Jordan Wilson were to drop, pick him up? Sure. Of course, I'd be all in favor of that. But I think they really need a wide receiver here. But either way, we both agree that the secondary and something, but you and I both said, when we said our top three priorities, did you notice that you did not say edge, nor did I?
No, I agree with you with the guy that got hurt last year coming back. Like I said, that's a draft pick itself. Also with Leonard Floyd and also with the guys that we already have. Also with Ellis, also, you know, he pretty good with Blixen. Really just that of, not even have to say edge, but getting pressure on the quarterback. No matter where it comes from, we got to get to the quarterback. I know some people say that don't matter about the stats, but that's what they get paid off of. So it kind of does matter to me.
Oh, it matters a lot. I mean, if you can get to the quarterback, it changes the game. You know, I mean, you change field position, it matters a lot. I mean, and this team has been extremely poor at doing that for a long time. I appreciate it, Eric. Thanks. And that did help whatever you did to change that up. Leonard is with us. Leonard, welcome to the show. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, John, I think the Falcons should go corner, with the first pick, then turn around and go wide receiver and re-sign Justin Simmons because he was out of position last year.
Yeah, they haven't done that yet. Simmons has been talking to other teams. He's still available out there. I mean, could they bring him back? In theory, yes. They haven't done it at the moment here. But isn't it interesting, though? I guess – and that's fine, Leonard. I mean, you can argue. I think they paid Mike Hughes to be a corner, but they could slide him into the – I guess you could use him to slide him into the nickel spot too. So I wouldn't be opposed to that if you could get the best cover corner in the draft. But I guess my larger point is whether we're discussing, you know, an interior defensive lineman or an opportunity to get a wide receiver, or as you and I are talking about now, a safety, a corner – that nowhere in this discussion now, when you only have two picks in the 1-2 before you get to the fourth round, nowhere in that discussion is the word edge. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, but we don't need it. I think last year when we switch up, we got pressure on the quarterback. We did get pressure. So that's why I say go corner and wide receiver. Because they're not taking the safety out of Georgia. I know they ain't going to do it.
Yeah, they may not be. I mean, it may, like you said, it could be totally fake right, go left. You know, why would you say that? You know, it's like, why would you come out, why would you go to UGA, watch the workouts, and then start saying, oh my God, we love this guy. You would never do that. You would never say that.
No way.
You know, you would. You're absolutely right, Leonard. This is what I said about, you know, Terry Fontenot faking right, going left. It's not like they went to the workouts at the Combine or to the Senior Bowl or then to the private workout in Seattle and said, oh, my God, we love Michael Penix. They never said that. The reason they never said it was if they had said it, they were afraid somebody was going to vault in front of him, even though they knew it and they knew they were going to draft him. So you would never say it.
Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. I appreciate it, John. And you have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Leonard. I just think it's fascinating that suddenly we start talking about Kirk Cousins, the $10 million, the trade that happened yesterday for the roster spot, the potential of a trade, hopefully pre-draft, the signings this week that took place, and how they've constructed their offseason, and for all the chatter that we had prior to the beginning of free agency about, hey, we've got to get Mike Green, or we've got to get Jalen Walker, or Michael Williams, or, you know, get it, Michael Williams, or James Pierce Jr., we got to get this edge, we got to explode, we got to get that guy to rush the quarterback. If you look at the moves they've made in free agency have all been about the point of attack. They've been about the line, okay? Predominantly, you have one linebacker, obviously, in Diablo and cutting Landman. But the moves that, in terms of bringing players in, have been aimed at that point of attack. Four players for depth on the offensive line, and then the moves to get starters, because Fox is a starter, Floyd is a starter, Braylon Trice coming into the team. I think that they've said, look, we're going to do this through free agency and build depth, quality depth on both lines, you know, interior defensive line, edge, offensive line, okay? And now we're going to go back out in the draft and use that for skill players, a safety, a corner, a wide receiver. I just want to brace you for that because they're not drafting an edge, guys. That's just not going to happen. 404-726-0929. Take you to Dylan Matthews, top of the hour, on a busy night on the radio station. Busy, busy night anyway in sports. And we'll walk you through all that as we kind of work throughout the afternoon on a Selection Sunday on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. So it's going to be a busy day. Dylan Matthews coming up top of the hour. Little hometown take on a Sunday. As we get ready for, all right, this is not going to work. 5:30, V103. Hawks, Nets, Steve Holman, real voice of the Hawks on the call, from Brooklyn. Hawks and Nets will be on V103. 6 o'clock, Atlanta United on 92.9 The Game. Mike Conley, Jason Longshore against Inter Miami and maybe Messi. We do not know, again, if Messi's going to play. Mike Conley said clearly, they played Thursday, Inter Miami played Thursday night in CONCACAF in Jamaica. Messi played 40 minutes in that game, scored in that game. We all understand that Messi's made it very clear publicly that one of the reasons he never considered coming to Atlanta United is that Atlanta United plays on turf. He does not like playing on turf. Whether you agree with that or not, he doesn't like it. Okay? So he's not a fan of playing on turf. So, but Mike Conley says he could start, he could sub in, or he could not play at all. He is going to be there, but there's no guarantee that you'll see him anywhere but the bench. He could play 90 minutes plus, or he could play 0 minutes and just be kind of wandering around. Don't know, okay? So if you're going to the game with the intent of seeing Messi play, I don't want you to be disappointed. Besides, if you're going to the game, and unless you're an Inter Miami fan, and while it's cool to go see Messi, and it is cool to go see Messi, don't get me wrong, you want to go see these great superstars. I got a chance in soccer, for example, I got a chance to see Pele come in. This is a funny story, Noel. You know, people forget we used to have a professional soccer team in town way back in the day, the Atlanta Chiefs, right? And they were in the North American Soccer League, and they played at Fulton County Stadium. And they would get 6,000 or 7,000 fans for a game. Does that sound about right? Yeah, 6 or 7. Except when the Cosmos came in. And suddenly there's 50,000 people for a soccer game in Atlanta. Because that was Pele. And you weren't going to miss a chance to see Pele play. Because Pele was the greatest. Noel, in your world, do people even know of Pele?
Yes, but vaguely. Like, I'm not sure how really big the name is now, or like with people my age. But yeah, you know, we We vaguely know Pelé.
Greatest soccer player ever. And if you ever get a chance to rent a soccer movie called Victory, Pelé was in Victory. It's about the American soldiers in a concentration camp playing soccer against the Germans. Sly Stallone, Sylvester Stallone, and Pelé. And it's a sports movie, a feel-good kind of movie. Pelé's in that. They discover, oh, they've got this guy who could play soccer. Yeah, you mean Pelé. Yeah, that guy. So, I mean, in the hierarchy of soccer, Pelé probably still at the top. I mean, when you're talking about the greats of all time. But that Cosmos team also had other really great, great players of the age. Franz Beckenbauer, great, great player of the age, for example. Giorgio Chinaglia, great, great player of the age. Ricky Davis, probably one of the best American players early on. So they had a lot of great players. So the Cosmos come in, and so there'd be 50,000 people. So but you want to witness it. So I got a chance to see Pelé play one time at Fulton County Stadium. And, you know, I'm so old anymore, and I'm not really that old. I'm 64, about to be 65. But I've been going to sports so long since I was a kid, I saw Roberto Clemente play at Wrigley Field. I mean, that was Willie Stargell, Roberto Clemente, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was probably 1968, maybe. You know, saw Gale Sayers play at Wrigley Field for the Bears with Dick Butkus. Matter of fact, I was at the Gale Sayers. I went to a couple Bears games. I went to the Gale Sayers game they played. I forget who they played. I went to Detroit. I don't know if I was a kid. And then, of course, Brian Piccolo gets really sick, you know, and Brian's song happens. And when Piccolo got cancer and, you know, and they played a game in his honor before he passed, and they lost it. There's a famous scene with James Caan in the hospital when Billy Dee Williams comes in and hands him the football from the game that they dedicated to him. And James Caan, Brian Piccolo, says, you know, when you dedicate a game to Miguel Sayers, you got to win the game, because he didn't win the game. It was against the LA Rams, against Roman Gabriel and Jack Snow and the LA Rams. I was actually at that game. I didn't know at the time it was the dedication game for Brian Piccolo. And then later on in life, the funny thing was I would go to work at Wake Forest where Brian Piccolo, because Brian's song was the Wake Forest fight song. He stands up in the middle of the room and sings his fight. Oh, here's to Wake Forest, to the old gold. And I'm like, okay. So he sings the Wake Forest fight song, part of Brian's song. And his you know, his wife that survived him, Joy, played by Shelley Fabre in the original movie, I get to meet Joy Piccolo and the Piccolo Foundation at Wake Forest. Joy Piccolo was not a woman who lived up to what her first name would usually mean. Okay? That's all I'll say about that. Okay? Not joy. Anyway, neither here nor there. So isn't it interesting with the Falcons moves here? Let's go back to that for a second here. Here we have everything that's going on. Selection Sunday tonight. Be interesting to see. Does Auburn retain the number one seed? Does Duke replace them as the number one? Because Cooper Flagg, by the way, you should know Cooper Flagg is coming back. He's been cleared to play. So, with him being cleared to play, will Duke take over the number? If it really matters, it doesn't really. They're both going to be number one seeds. But I started to realize the other day, when they signed Morgan Fox, I went, oh, wait a second now. Because I started to, you know, I'm not a math whiz, Noel, but I started putting one and one together and coming up with two. They went to Georgia and started bragging on Malachi Starks. I went, okay, that's fake right, go left. But, you know, they may really like Malachi too, but at the same time, they want everybody to think that they value Malachi at 15, so they maybe can make a move if they have to. But when they signed Morgan Fox, I went, why would you sign Morgan Fox? You just signed Leonard Floyd. You have Braylon Trice. You have Ebba Cady. If you're going to draft, oh, they're not drafting an edge. I went, oh, they're not drafting an edge. Are they? They weren't up there to see Michael Williams and Jalen Walker. They were up there to see Malachi Starks and Jared Wilson. Not that they would necessarily turn down the idea of Walker or Williams, but they don't really, there's no place for them. Look, if you look at the edges that are available in the draft, Noel, right? You've got two guys in Mike Green and James Pierce Jr., both of whom kind of jump off the page as potential stars, correct?
Correct.
Both of whom have some question marks surrounding their character, correct?
Correct.
And again, I think if you look at the Falcons roster as it's constructed at the moment and the intent of what they wanted to do in the offseason, which was they said, look, we're fine in certain positions. You know, we're fine, you know, from a starting offensive line. We can afford to lose Drew Dahlman because we have enough faith in Ryan Neuzel to take over that spot. We're good. We're fine at quarterback. We got to figure out what we're doing with Kirk, but we want value for him. But we'll let him be the backup. We're certainly fine at running back. We're too deep there. We're they like Kyle Pitts, whether you do and you want to fire him into the sun. They like him. I do too as a downfield one, and Charlie Warner. So the tight end room is really good because Warner's such a good to help out Caleb McGarry, especially on the blind side now with Michael Penix. They're also, and besides, they could also roll Penix to his left to roll away from McGarry, more towards Jake Matthews, one of the reasons that, you know, Jake is staying here. And you have Drake London, you have Ray Ray, and you bring back Kadarryl Hodge. So you start to look at where the holes are. You re-sign Mike Hughes, but you don't bring back, at the moment, Justin Simmons. Where are the holes on the team? So is it fair to say, when it comes to a starting, from a depth perspective, I think they've done a really good job. From a starting perspective, Noel White. Are the three biggest holes safety, corner slash nickel, downfield breakout wide receiver? You know, are those the three biggest holes? Or am I missing something? Did I lose Noel?
I'm here, John.
Are those the three biggest holes or am I missing something?
No, those are probably the three biggest holes.
So isn't it interesting how everything has changed for them in terms of the priorities of the draft? That where there's no world do I see am I missing something that they would draft an edge suddenly with the 15th pick the Falcons take James Pierce Jr. I'm like, put him where?
Yeah, because that room's getting a little crowded, huh? After this week.
Yeah, what are you going to start him in front of Leonard Floyd? Is that what you're going to do? What are you doing with Braylon Trice? Why did you sign Morgan Fox? Look, that makes no sense to me. I think that they're looking at defensive back and wide receiver as the two biggest priorities. And by the way, if it comes to pass that they don't trade 15, and they're stacking, again, remember, they are slaves to their board, so to speak. They are going to rank the players by need. They're going to rank the players by position. And then on the third board, they're going to rank the players 1 through 500, which is why you have Drake London, why you have Bijan Robinson, why you have Kyle Pitts, and why you have Michael Penix, because they rated them so high. They have Bijan as the number two player available in the entire draft. And I am firmly convinced that they went in and said, Michael Penix is number one in the entire draft, or 1A, alongside this other quarterback, which I believe now to be Jaden Daniels. It could have been Caleb Williams. But it's tie. There's a tie at number one. Michael Penix is tied for the number one pick in the entire draft. We cannot pass on this opportunity, which created all the other problems attended to it. That plus the fact that, you know, the broke down liar didn't tell us the truth, created all the problems that we got into now, right? So on their board, if, for example, they look at Luther Burden and they value on their 1 through 500 board and they have Luther Burden fifth, I'm just making this up, but I'm just telling you how they work. They have Luther Burden fifth overall. Okay, it's like, okay, we have Abdul Carter 1, Cam Ward 2, Travis Hunter 3, Shedeur Sanders number 4, and Luther Burden number 5. I'm just making it up. I'm just telling you, if they have him as the number one wide receiver, and on most boards, McMillan's number 1 and Burden's number 2, but if they value Burden as the number 1 and the fifth overall pick, and they get to 15 and he's still there, they may go, guess what? With the 15th pick, the Atlanta Falcons select Luther Burden, wide receiver, Missouri, and everybody in Green Bay is going to fall out of their chair going, what are they doing? Just staying true to his board. His board, understand that Terry Fontenot's draft board is all about the very best player available. Okay? And in all those cases of these four drafts up until now, he has taken in his spot the very best player available. They all happen to be positions of skill on the offense, but so what? You're not passing them up. We're taking stars. You got to be really good at something. All we're asking Jeff Ulbrich to do this season is to create a defense that can put more pressure on the quarterback, get off the field, and create some turnovers. We just need them to be mid. You need them faster, become a mid defense, because we, the Falcons, are saying we can win this division offensively. And what is the one thing that we're missing? We stacked the offensive line. We've stacked the running back room. We've stacked the tight end room. We've stacked the quarterback room. Yeah, with Kirk Cousins at the moment. We are just unstacked in one position. A breakout, Egbuka burden wide receiver to go down the field that allows Michael Penix to have a stretch guy. That's it. That's what they're missing. So as we do the next 5 weeks, just understand that at the moment as we sit here today, I do not think the Falcons are going to draft an edge. That's my statement to you. I don't think they're in the business of drafting an edge, no matter who that edge is. I think there's a really competent edge like James Pierce Jr. at 15. They will trade down to get extra value in the draft and go after, you know, Egbuka at 22. You know, so I think that that's where they're at. But that's just my take at the moment. We'll see if Dylan Matthews, everybody else is going to have a different take and a different breakdown. That's mine. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy Selection Sunday. Enjoy Messi at Mercedes-Benz if you're going. Hope the Hawks can get back on track against the Nets. And I will talk to you tomorrow as we roll through. I'll be back again tomorrow, 7 to 10, right here. My thanks to Noel White and to all of you that called in. Dylan is next right here on Sports Radio 90 Time of the Game.